Welcome to the Reach Out podcast, the show where we explore how researchers at Aalborg University and elsewhere use digital technologies to disseminate their knowledge, as well as connect with different audiences. This podcast is supported by generous funding from the Digitalization Strategy at Aalborg University Denmark and produced at Aalborg University Business School. If you want to connect, follow us on Twitter at reachout, that's reachout with A-A-U-T in the end. And now let's jump straight into the interview. Welcome to this little interview we have today with us, Jacob Brix. Is it correctly pronounced? I'm not sure. We usually speak Danish together.
It is.
Okay. And Louise also is joining this short interview. Thanks so much for taking the time. And I guess let's start by having a short introduction of yourself, if you will mind.
Well, okay. Yeah, as you said, my name is Jakob or Jacob or Jacopo or whatever you prefer to call it in the languages. I'm an associate professor at Aalborg University, and I do research on organizational learning and innovation. So more specifically, it is how do you create and maintain a balance between exploration and exploitation to, you know, maintain a sort of relevancy both for the public sector and private sector, etc. So that's more or less what I do and what I do research on.
In a way, I think that's also almost fitting the kind of talks we're going to have here today, you know, having a university trying to explore on the one hand new ways of communicating, on the other hand, you know, exploiting what is there, or maybe not going too far, not going too close. So maybe you also have a perspective on that from your more research, from the research side and from your own research. But let's just maybe first go into what are you actually doing in your daily life as a researcher in terms of communication outside the traditional channels?
Well, outside the traditional channels, I have, well, it depends on what do you consider the traditional
channels. Let me clarify the traditional channels here being journals, conferences, you know, working papers, maybe even preprint repositories, things like that.
Yeah. Okay. So what I do is that I do a lot to promote sort of my own work. I see it as a role I ascribe myself as a sort of salesman of my own research. So if people are not going to search for it, then I'm going to make sure somehow that they can't avoid to see it if they are somehow linked to me, for example, via ResearchGate, Twitter or LinkedIn or Google Scholar. So in that way, I try to both have short communications where I'm trying to, you know, oh, that sounds intriguing, I hope people think, so they go, you know, clickbait almost kind of way. But also that can lead to presentations in organizations, in all sorts of network settings, etc. So it's both short communications, but also me being very active, providing, you know, presentations at companies, but also sparring at virtual meetings. I do that a lot as well.
Right. So, yeah, that's quite many different techniques, different approaches. Is there, you know, would you say like some fit certain contexts, others fit others, or is it, you know, do you have a specific strategy, or is it just kind of like very ad hoc pick things?
No, I think the strategy is linked very close to my profile as a researcher. So when I do comment on something, or when I do write a statement or something about research, it is always with my background in the field where I'm studying, that is, you know, exploration, exploitation, organizational learning. So in that way, people who see what I post, they might see a sort of pattern again and again. Oh, so when people start thinking about organizational learning, and the other words I won't state again and again during this interview, is that, oh, there is something about this Jacob, perhaps, you know, and that can somehow generate an effect. I think that it's sort of promoting my research, but also me as a researcher. So who is it you get in the Jacob package if you invite me for a speech or for a meeting?
Yeah. So you use it kind of very strategically in a way to position yourself, to promote yourself for this particular area for this particular terminology that people would make the association, okay, I would like to learn, look into or have someone talking about exploration, exploitation, or organizational learning. It's like a certain area of innovation studies, and then just like, let's connect to this guy. He is the guy.
So that's my way of, some would say in well, what we say in Danish doesn't make sense now, but placing myself in that field, and not trying to have too broad a profile and trying not to comment too much on all sorts of things, even though sometimes it might itch in the fingers to, press and comment, but it has to be relevant when I comment, for example, because that's also a big part of what I do. It is also commenting other people's posts, etc. But with something that I find to be really very relevant in that regard.
I mean, that's an interesting point as well. I think like commenting of posts, and before the talk, I think you said, or now you're not doing so much Facebook. I know that can be a rabbit hole. You start commenting, and then like after two or three exchanges, then probably people ask you to, I don't know, do all sort of horrible things to yourself. But I guess on LinkedIn, that's maybe not such an issue. But how would you say like commenting also? Maybe on Twitter, I think that's also kind of a dangerous environment sometimes for people to get sucked into discussions that you don't want to be sucked into.
Well, I think that's the good thing about Twitter is that it's so informal that if you just don't answer, you just don't answer. Although that sometimes you want to, you have to look yourself in the mirror, so to say. So at some given point of time, you need to stop, because other people are also using some sort of, you could call it a clickbait. Some people are fishing for dialogues and discussion, especially in academic chatter and academic Twitter and whatever they're called. But sometimes it can also be useful. This morning I saw a very early stage tweet, and I wrote something, a personal perspective on how I would act as a supervisor. And within 10 minutes, there were quite many people who liked that. And that's also a way of, just creating a profile to get followers. But that kind of thing doesn't say that much about my subject-specific research, but more as how would I like to see academia now on and in the future, because there's so much talk about, how bad PhD students feel around the world in that community as well, which I, of course, don't like.
Yeah. No, that's that's true. That's true. But let's not go down
Let's not go down that
that path.
road,
Let's
no.
that may get very quite depressing quite quickly, especially now. Yeah, also I think I have seen some of that last week about PhD students during Corona time, and for example, and how difficult that is. And yeah, that is
But the short
no.
strategy I have is, so if I choose to comment, would it then somehow benefit my profile from a strategic point of view? And if yes, I would spend time on it. If no, I don't.
If let's say someone is not doing any of that, let's say it's imagine a colleague that's, going to one, two conferences a year, publishing, working on one, two papers at a time, and would like actually to do some of that. Suddenly feels the itch, okay, maybe I should start promoting myself in a different way. Where would you start? What would you say to this colleague?
Well, I would tell them the story of what I did. I started on LinkedIn, and I started to accept the fact that no one is going to sell my research for me. So in that way, if I wasn't proud myself of the work I've done and proud enough to write publicly, hey, I published this conference paper, or I published this, research note or whatever it is, so people can see it. I mean, if you don't do it yourself, no one will do so. I mean, most likely they won't, because there is so much out there. So the first thing I would do is say, try to, if you get something accepted, just post that you got it accepted and write five or six words about it. What is it about? What was the problem you helped understanding or solve? That's where I started. And you started the record, I also talked to you about, strategies and how I measure things with this work. I could see when I began doing this back in 2017 that one of my papers, I think during a year or 2 year, I posted it or about it five or six times on LinkedIn. Well, promotion of my research and myself, yes, it is true. You can then judge if that's good or bad. But every time I made the post, I could see on the number of downloads for that week that it was boosted with, you know, a very significant amount of downloads, unique downloads, that is. So in that way, it gets out. And just because you have posted it once, it doesn't mean that you cannot do it again after half a year, because either people forget, some new people will see it, but you shouldn't just do it, you know, every second week, because then they will start unfollowing you.
Yeah. Now that's what's actually the next question of mine. You know, you think, I had it myself sometimes, like, oh, but I posted about it last week, and I post again. I was like, yeah, sure, you can. And I have also an interesting experience with a colleague of mine. We wrote a paper together. And when the working paper came out last week, the week before, then what he did is actually he took screenshots of the part of the papers and made it into a whole thread on Twitter. And I haven't seen that in been done in that way, at least not so closely, and suddenly you have one paper, but actually you have, I don't know, 10 tweets, but it's still one paper, and it's and you know, people can comment on the different parts of it. So you're kind of packing a paper into a tweet thread. That's also I think an interesting new trend, I find. Maybe not so new, maybe I'm old in terms of the Twitter trends.
Well, that's one thing, is how can you break up the key messages you have for any audience in 3 or 4 tweets. That's a fantastic way of finding out, how can I give sense to other people about my work? How can I reach a broader audience who are not within the field necessarily? Another thing is a strategy I had with 2 co-authors, one from Finland and another one from my department, where we took a screenshot, as you said, but with the phone. On the start of a publication, we agreed upon writing, and then we put that on Twitter. Hey, Tweeps, a new interesting publication in under development by X, Y, and C person. Here are the themes. And that also generated, you know, awareness about, oh, they're doing something. And then we could post, you know, halfway through and, hey, now it's finally published. Go buy it or download or whatever it is.
So how was that? I mean, did you get some feedback there that you actually could use, or did you get because that sounds almost like...
Comments... I don't know what you call likes, hearts. I don't know what's it called.
Yeah.
So in that way, just awareness, I think, is important. So if you have a profile and it's not a non-active profile, I mean, why have it?
Yeah, no, that's completely true.
Jacob, one of the things that we previously discussed was this connection between open access and using social media to distribute it. Do you think it's necessary to do the open access thing, or how do you use that in your social media strategy?
I'm a big fan of open access, and I would love to publish all the things I do open access. I have been lucky to generate some funding to do so, but open access just makes it much easier to spread your research, especially to countries who don't have all these agreements with Elsevier, Emerald, and blah, 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 where each paper costs a fortune. But I also see that the papers I have with open access, where I'm very active, you know, on the social media, they generate a lot of citations quite quickly, which is good for a person, you know, at my career step, aiming perhaps in 5 or 7 years for advancement, something like that. So citations start to matter, and therefore, well, I just see that the things published in 19 now have 25 citations each, instead of the things I published the same year that was not open access. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the one is better than the other or vice versa. It just means that it's easier to access. And I think that is a very important key.
How is, what would be, I mean, you mentioned ResearchGate before, and ResearchGate is known, I mean, on the one hand for preprints and people uploading stuff, on the other hand for questionable preprint practices and then being bought up and all kinds of things. I mean, what's your view on these preprints and the idea of, you know, just having a paper out before it's actually out in kind of almost last stage? Also as a means of communication, open access.
Well, now this is a personal reflection from my perspective, not from any institution or anything. Sure. I don't use them. because, I mean, I also, that's another thing, I'm associate editor of a journal, and it's not that interesting to have a paper that is more or less, you know, 5% exact as something that is online on ResearchGate, if you want to have it accepted for publication in a journal, because why should the journal do so if it's not really new? That's my personal reflection, and I never cite them in my own work, because I think that what is important is that it has had the peer review and it has been accepted to some sort of have rigor or robustness checked with the research. That would be one thing, but the best thing I have, I think, that is very good with ResearchGate is actually if you go on the computer instead of the app, you have this function of asking questions and responding to questions. And responding to questions when there are questions you can respond to generates a lot of followers, and it generates actually many citations I've seen, because some of the people I've, you know, responded to, they have started to work, use my work, even though I didn't use my work in the response. I'm again not saying that this has been a causal mechanism, but it's just fun for me to go into these details and look, because I apparently have too much time. Not. I don't know if that was off topic.
Yeah, no. That's definitely within. Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, what you say there. So we also kind of have this weird role going, but on the one hand, you know, let's have open access, and I think everyone would agree, oh, that's a great idea. On the other hand, you know, I'm just guest editing this, this and that, or, you know, what does this mean for my journal?
Yeah.
And it's kind of puts you into this, yeah, this split personality situation almost.
Yeah, it's a dilemma, because on the one hand, if you're an early career researcher and you want to apply for an assistant or associate professorship or even a postdoc, I mean, the tendencies are that people actually in these review boards start to expect some sort of impact, even though that you technically almost haven't had the opportunity to create it yet. So in that way, it is perhaps only one of the few ways to generate early citations is to get something out that is a working paper. But my point is that then you use it as and publish it as a working paper instead of, you know, something else. If it is the accepted version of a preprint, blah, 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 of course it's fine, because it's completely legal to do so if you follow the journal's, what's it called, guidelines, rules, etc. But most often you're not really allowed to do so anyway.
It depends. I think it depends there also on the, you know, on the level of maturity of the paper, on the on the discipline, I would say. But yeah, I think in many social science journals traditionally they would be like, they would not see it very well, I guess, if you just publish something that's almost the same as the journal publication elsewhere accessible. That's of course true. Okay, so we've now been kind of around many topics of communication. Homepages, that's another, you know, topic that comes up very often when we talk to people. Do you have one?
No.
Okay. Did you think of having one?
No. I see LinkedIn as my online business card, and I link my Google Scholar account to LinkedIn. You could say that all my profiles are somehow, I'm trying to connect them, even though they don't really allow to do so. So I, you know, in LinkedIn, I also have my Twitter handle and blah, 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 but I don't have a personal homepage. I mean,
okay. Is it maybe a discipline specific thing in your case that the crowd you'd like to catch is actually on LinkedIn?
I guess that I came into research with an industrial researcher background. So being a consultant before starting in research, just it was normal to have a LinkedIn profile because that was the online business card. And I have an extremely interesting network, if I can say it myself, on LinkedIn. So it would be stupid not to, you know, give something back to them. And often it is the people on LinkedIn who comment or invite me for a meeting. And sometimes they are so kind to provide me with a bottle of red wine or a little fee or something, or thank you, even though. So in that way, that's also my way of disseminating knowledge, is to somehow just go into one organization, specifically talk to them for 1 or 2 hours, even though I prefer to go all out broader.
So do you use LinkedIn also for broadcasting your own content? So do you write articles that you post on LinkedIn or?
I've tried so a few times, but I think that there's something about timing that is crucial on LinkedIn. I haven't really cracked that code yet. But instead, if I have a, you know, once I finally have a paper that is published and hopefully open access, I put it on LinkedIn and say something with few words that I know would intrigue too many of my, you know, connections on LinkedIn, because 8 out of 10, I actually know the rest is some people who connected just because, I don't know, by accident or whatever, but I'm too, I don't like to reject people beforehand, so to say.
All right. Cool. Yeah, I guess that's actually a really nice overview of what you're doing, how you're disseminating, what good strategies are. So I hope people can learn a little bit from your experience and maybe put some of that in, also into practice.
Well, I hope that it somehow can be useful to have the reflections from Jacob here.
All right. Thank you very much. And yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.